All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the service. We're still finishing up in the back, but I believe in starting. So if they want to come on in and mingle with us and sing, that'll be great. But we'll go ahead and get started. We'll leave the ending time up to the Lord and whatever He directs. But we're going to start. Gray Book, number 87. Appreciate each one being here. Thank you for the visitors. Please take part. Body sing, number 87, Someday.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Good morning, all. It's good to see everybody out today. I hope that you have received a good blessing for this week. It has been our vacation Bible school this week, and you can tell by the decorations for the kids. The idea was this was a children's heaven, what children might visualize. And I told somebody earlier, I said, that's a good thing that children have an idea of what they think heaven will be like. But I believe it'll be even better than that. It's going to be a place that is more wonderful. And I always say probably the best way of describing what heaven's going to be, it talks about it's going to have a street of gold. In this world, gold is the most precious thing that we have. Now, yeah, there's diamonds and such as that. But in most people's mind, gold is the most precious thing there is. But there, we'll walk on it. It's pavement. And so everything in heaven's going to be much better than what we have in this world. And that's something that I look forward to, is heaven being better. Wonderful. I don't know if they'll have milkshakes there or not, but as the kids said, but the idea is it's going to be great when we get there, and I look forward to that place. We are glad to see each and every one out with us today. Glad to have any visitors that might be with us today. We had a few different ones that came during VBS that said they was going to be here this Sunday and for the first time. And some of them were here for the performance, but were not feeling well. So we want to keep them on our prayer list today and pray that the Lord will bless them, first of all, with feeling better, but that they'll have a desire to come back to the house of the Lord is what we hope that they will do. Let's keep that in mind. If it's all right, we're going to omit the children's church today. The kids have already performed quite a bit, so we're going to omit it today. And let's go on about the Lord's business in prayer today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anybody have a prayer request upon anyone's heart today? Yeah, Brother Slick and them are under the weather again. He and Miss Barbara both, so let's remember them. Might remember Brother Bill. He had another one of his weak spells and not feeling able to come to church today. My understanding is Brother Lanny failed this week, and he's not able to be with us today, so we need to remember him in our prayers also. As Brother Stewart said a few before that he left for New Mexico, it seemed like the Lord, It seems like the devil is really attacking our members of our church, but he said our deacons, and I have to agree. Brother Randall has just now got recovered. Others have recovered and down again. So it seems like the devil is really after us as far as health is concerned. So we need to pray that the Lord will put a shield around us, around our older members, that they may be able to do better. So let's remember them in our prayers today. Anybody else have a prayer request? Lord help, let's remember this lady in our prayers. The cancer is bad, but if you're not ready to meet the Lord, that's terrible to me. So let's do remember this lady in our prayers. Somebody else? Yes. Let's do remember this. Let's do keep Brother Roger in our prayers too, though. Somebody else? Let's do remember Brother Lowell in our prayers. Need to remember also Sister Carolyn. She's taking the radiation pills is what she's taking now. And they had come for Sunday school, but she got to feeling bad and had to leave. So let's do remember her in our prayers also. Somebody else? Our revival starts next Sunday, right? I want you to think about the ones that are in the seats with you today, first of all, that you haven't heard them say that they're saved. Maybe they're like Luke back there, too little yet to understand. But maybe they're right at the age also that they're fixing to know that they're a sinner in the sight of God. And they're going to need to be saved. Pray for them. Pray for all these. But then look around, and you've probably heard some of these say, I'm not saved. And we need to pray for them today. Now, next Saturday, we're going to have a prayer breakfast here at the church. And the purpose is to pray for the revival and pray that the Lord will bless it. And bless these sinners with conviction that they'll seek the Lord out. But we can start today and need to start today in praying that these sinners will come under strong conviction. And don't forget to pray for Brother Barry also. Let's pray for him as he comes this way to bring the messages for us this week after next, I should say. So let's remember him. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart this morning? Let us all pray today. Let's ask the Lord to help us in this service. I'm going to ask you to come into the altar, everybody that can and will, and let's have an altar prayer this morning. Let it be for all of these prayer requests, for these that have fallen, these that are sick, these that are having problems and cancer and such as that. Let it be for them. But let's also remember these that are unsaved. Let's pray the Lord gets a hold of them. And it'll be so strong that their pride will not hold them back from seeking the Lord. So everybody that will, let's come down into the altar and let's have an altar of prayer on their behalf this morning. Everybody that will.
May be seated. Let's continue our song service. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. You're never interrupting. You're never interrupting me when you have to follow the Spirit like that.
Amen.
And I don't know, I just had the thought when Sister Cheryl began to speak that if I could draw your attention to some secular stuff. I'm a sports nut, okay? If we're not talking religion or something, then my job, I like to talk sports. Having coached a little bit, we've always tried to teach people to, what is the most important play? It's the next one.
Yeah.
It's the most important one. What's the most important service of this church? It's the next one.
Yes.
We can feed on what's gone past.
Yeah.
Sinner friend, your most important prayer could be your next one.
Yes.
So be prepared. I appreciate Sister Cheryl standing and saying what's on her heart. But yes, we need to pray.
Amen.
We need the Lord to come in here, and we need to get the devil out there, as the old timers used to say, and run him up a bush and keep him out there.
Yeah.
But let's follow the Lord. And in that light, let's sing 216. Lord, lead me on. 216. Good. All right, let's do a couple of verses of number 94 before I do our last song. Number 94. Song. Last number, we'll do an old number, kind of subdued, but a great message in this, Near the Cross, number 213. Number 213.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister Rachel. Appreciate the good singing this morning. Appreciate the good testimony and prayers already. Anybody else got anything on your heart this morning? Word of testimony or anything? Sometimes maybe I should ask this. Does anybody need to do something for the Lord today? It could be a song. I believe people should follow the Lord even if it's talking about a song. Maybe you need to sing. Maybe you do need to testify. Maybe there's somebody you need to talk to. I want us to follow the Lord always in this church. And I'm of the opinion if you think you're interrupting me, you're not. You're interrupting God if you're not following Him. He has a purpose for everything, so follow Him. By way of announcement, today is our business meeting. And after our service, we'll come back in, all the members and anybody that can, to stay for our business meeting. And we'll take care of some business for the church today after that. So everybody keep that in mind about our business meeting. Does anybody have anything on your heart? But that is true. It'd be a good time of fellowship for everybody to come together. Still a little bit more and talk and just learn about each other. It's one of the most important things in our church that we learn about one another. A lot of times we go into church, we sit down in our pew, we listen to the singing and the preaching and go home, and we never talk to anybody about them. If we talk about anything, a lot of times it's about us, right? And because we talk about us, they may know a little bit about us, but the fact of the matter is we need to know about others. You see, these people over here that don't know about you, and you, some of you over here on this side don't know about these over here. So it's important for us to try our best to learn and love one another. That's what God instructed us to do, is to love one another. So let's keep that in mind. If nobody has anything on your heart, turn to the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. Thank you, Miss. Good instruction, and I do need to say I appreciate everybody that worked hard during this VBS, young and old alike. I appreciate every one of you. Anybody else got something on your heart? I'll say this in my way of testifying. I was blessed to go back to the place where I got saved at this week. And one of the first things that I always do when I walk into that church house, and I hadn't been in a couple years, I look at that spot where I got saved at. And I tell you, that's a special spot to me. And just had a good spirit there. They had one to get saved on, I think it was Wednesday night, I believe it was. And we went back on Thursday night, and Brother Anthony Dixon preached a good message on praise. And then after he got through preaching, boy, there was a lot of people started praising the Lord. And that was good. To watch that. That's what we need to do. We need to praise God. Several good testimonies about when and where they got saved at. And there was a couple, I'll just say it this way. My granddaughter Hannah testified about being saved. And then there was a lady stood up and she said, "If that little girl can do that, I ought to be able to do what I need to do." And when she got done, another one stood up and said, "Well, if she can do that, I ought to be able to." And that's something I want us to keep in mind. When somebody testifies and the Lord's dealing with you, that ought to open up the door for you. So follow the Lord. It was good to go back to the place where I got saved at. Nothing special about that bench where I got saved at, but I tell you, it's special to me. Anybody else have anything on your heart? As I said, I'll be taking my reading lesson today from the book of Hebrews. We're starting in the third chapter, starting with verse 15. Starting with verse 15 in the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, go on into chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering in to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And that's reading, starting at verse 15 in the third chapter, ending it with verse 2 in the fourth chapter. A little bit different kind of reading lesson. However, I'll remind you that but when the Bible was written, this was a letter, and there was no such thing as chapters. They were added probably, I think if I remember right, probably around 10 to 12 centuries later as a convenience for those that were reading and studying the Word of God. Verses were actually added in later. The verse numbers were. So all of this was one big letter. Now our lesson this week was about the promised land and about the children of Israel making a great big journey. I had no idea until yesterday morning that I was going to use this today and talk about the travel of the children of Israel in our reading lesson. But I do want you to notice two things before that we get started in this message. First thing is in verse 9, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Then notice in the first 14th verse, first verse, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into rest, any of you should seem to come short. Now, today, I want us to go back, first of all, into the book of Numbers, into the 13th and 14th chapter. And what they studied about this week was about the children of Israel. I know the kids and the teachers and the helpers, they've heard it all week about this. Why are you preaching about something that we've talked about all week? Because I want you to get some facts about this that is a little different, but the fact of the matter is the reason why that those fell in the wilderness was because of unbelief. That's going to be the main part of our lesson today. But the children of Israel had came out of Egypt. You saw how the kids reenacted about Pharaoh and how that at each plague Moses had said, let my people go. And in Cameron's word is Pharaoh, no, was his words. And finally after the 10th one, he said, fine, just go. And that's basically what happened. We're not going to talk about the Red Sea and the other things, but we're going to talk about mainly today about the time of provocation. That's a word that we don't use very much in these days, probably hardly ever other than in the Bible. But what he was talking about was after the children of Israel had came from Mount Horeb, where they had received the law of God, and after they had seen everything that God had done before, they came up to the promised land and started looking at it. They sent spies over to spy out the land. Honestly, I think Moses made a mistake there. He should not have ever sent them over. He should have just relied on the Lord himself to go let them go over and rely on God. But the people wanted to send spies. They wanted to hear what was in the land. I'm going to ask you something today. When it comes to heaven today, have you had anybody that spied out heaven for you? Actually, no. But then again, maybe we did. When we've been in a service for the Lord and the Spirit of God has moved in that church service, maybe you saw people get saved. Maybe you got saved yourself. You got just a little bit of a taste of heaven. Those people that went over there into the promised land and spied it out, they found all the good things that God had promised them there, but they also found something that made them want to turn around. And that was walled cities. That was men and armies that were, as in their words, giants in their eyes. They saw a people that was mightier than they were. And what I want you to see, that was the day of provocation. Because when they came back out of the promised land, the 10 spies or 12 spies that came out of there, Joshua and Caleb said, "Oh, we can go in. We can take it by the power of God." But the other 10, they made the statement, "Oh, it's big. It's trouble. The armies are huge. There are giants in the place. There are walled cities. There's no way that we can take this nation or this land for ourselves." Now, I want you to look at chapter 14 and start with verse 2, and you can start to hear the doubt that is in the people of Israel at that time. In verse 2, he said, "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron." Murmuring is complaining, basically. It is saying, "I don't believe," in a sense, is what they're doing. And he said, "And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness?" In other words, between Horeb and there. "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" Now, the idea that they had seen the miracles of God, not only the 10 plagues that they sang about in the children's part today, but also in the fact that they had saw the Red Sea part. They had seen Mount Horeb as it burned. They'd heard the voice of God down there at the base of it. They had heard that. They had saw the tabernacle built in front of them and God's presence coming down and just occupying the tabernacle itself. They also saw that cloud in the daytime, and they saw the fire at night that led them through the wilderness unto the place of the promised land. And what did they do? They said, "Lord, we can't do it. Moses, we can't do it. Aaron, what are you thinking today? We can't do these things in that." Now, first of all, I want to say to anybody that is saved, that is unsaved today, you may be thinking, there's no way that I can be saved. You can't by yourself. But I want you to understand something today. With God, all things are possible. And He can save your soul today if you will but believe in Him. Now, when you go back to the children of Israel, I want you to go look at Psalms 95 with me for a little bit. And I want you to get a description of them just a little bit better. How that they are today. This all comes down to unbelief. He says in the 8th verse of the 95th chapter of the book of Psalms, he says, harden not your heart as in the provocation. And he brings that up again. As in the days of temptation in the wilderness. You know, for a sinner in the house of the Lord today, it is a temptation to them to say, I can't be saved. It is a temptation that the devil puts on you any time that God is dealing with your heart. Well, there's no way that I can be saved, but I want you to understand something. Do not be like the children of Israel was in that day, that you doubt the Lord, that you harden your heart against the Lord. What does it mean to harden your heart? It means to resist God. It means that you resist Him so much that it becomes common inside of yourself that you will not trust God. And that's what the devil wants. I'm going to ask you a question today. If you're lost and away from God today, do you really want to do what the devil wants you to do? Think about that today. Do you want to do what the devil wants you to do? Or do you want to do what is right for you? I want you to understand something today. The devil does not want you to do what is right. He wants you to do the wrong thing and not believe God. That's what he wants you to do. Listen again. Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers were tempted me and proved me and saw my works. They saw the works. Now, I agree, you haven't saw Moses part the Red Sea. But if you listen to these people that have testified in times past, and they talked about being saved by the grace of God, them being a sinner just like you are, you know, they parted a bigger miracle right there than Moses did. They took something that was dirty and filthy spiritually, and God saved it. That's a bigger miracle than what Moses did at the Red Sea. It's a bigger miracle than all the plagues of Egypt. It's a bigger miracle than anything else. That's how God deals with a soul. He saves them. Listen to what he says. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts and they have not known my ways. Now it's important that you get something right here. He said to them, it is a people that do err in their heart. You know those people that day, or they went into their tents and they talked to one another. How many of you ever got into a room with your spouse? Maybe you as kids, you got with maybe other students and you kind of got into a little bit of a huddle and you started talking about a teacher. Maybe you talked about a friend. Maybe you talked about somebody else. Maybe you talked about me. That's fine. But I want you to understand something today. When you're talking about God and you're doing it from the heart, you're showing God your unbelief. When you tell God he can't save you, you're talking against God. When you're listening to the devil, you're going against God. And it comes from the heart. It's not just what you're doing in your body. It's what he is doing in your heart. Where do you believe today? Is it a heart work or is it right here in your mind? I heard a preacher make this statement the other night, and I've heard it said many times, that there's many people that goes off into a devil's hell that have missed it by 8 inches from here to here. That's where many people miss it. They believe up here. Yes, you've got to use your head and believe, but when it comes down to a full belief in God, it's got to be a heart work. It's got to come from the very depths of the heart in order that you might be saved. You can't just make a decision. Well, I trusted the Lord. You can't just make a decision about it and say, well, I'm saved and it'll be all right. You better get it right and get down into the heart of your soul and believe fully. It's not an easy thing to do that, though, is it? It wasn't an easy thing for the children of Israel to pick up their household and leave Egypt. It wasn't an easy thing when they got to the Red Sea and looking at Pharaoh coming at them. It wasn't easy for them at that moment. But when they parted the Red Sea, I'm going to ask you something. How many of you want to walk through water probably 20, 30 foot high on each side? How many of you would say you could do that? Most of us would say, Lord, but they did it. They did it. When God is dealing with you, he's asking you to trust him is what he's doing. Now, one more, maybe just a few more verses about the children of Israel, and we'll talk more about your spiritual belief and unbelief. He said in Psalms 106, again, he's talking about the children of Israel here, but in verse 23, he says, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Now, what the Bible tells us about Moses, as he was getting ready to die and to leave the children of Israel in the hands of Joshua, he said, you're going to look for a prophet that is likened unto me. And what he meant was he was going to be a deliverer. He was going to be a savior. That's what Moses was to the children of Israel in a physical sense. He was that savior for them. He was that deliverer. But not only was he a deliverer, he was a man that stood between the children of Israel and God different times. You know something? You can't reach God by yourself. You can't. You got to have somebody in between you. And as good as much as I'd love to stand between you and God, I'm not fit to do it. I'm not. I'm not sinless. I haven't lived this life in a sense as a perfect state like Jesus did. Jesus lived in this world without sin. Yet he knew the same temptations that you know. He knows every one of those temptations that you're going through. It's nothing new to him. Satan hit him with every temptation that you have been hit with. Yet he did not sin. He always trusted his heavenly Father. He always trusted him. Jesus stands in the between you and him. And what the Bible says, that he is that man that is in between you and God. You'll find that in 1 Timothy 3 and 5, I believe it is. But he stands between you and God. He is that one that pleads your case. When he hears you praying, when he sees that you have trusted in him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and body, I want you to understand, he goes to God with that, and he says, Father, he's believed. She's believed in me. Thus, it is important for them, for you to have him in that place. As Moses stood in the breach, in between the children of Israel. You know what he did? That day in the day of provocation, God said, stand back, Moses. I'm going to destroy them. Did you get that part where he said about that? He said, I'm going to destroy them. I'll start it all over again. And Moses went to pleading for the people. You know something? The Lord loves you even more than Moses loved the children of Israel. And he's standing in the midst. He's standing between you and God right now. He's the only reason that you still have a chance to be saved today. He's the only reason, because he's standing between you and God. And Moses pleaded for the children of Israel, and God turned his heart. God, Jesus is still pleading for you today. Now, you might say today, well, I have friends that haven't believed. Why should I? It makes it of none effect. I believed one time, or at least I thought I believed. I want you to think of it that way. Because if you truly believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his work that he did, you'd be saved right now and you'd have no doubt about it. But you're standing there, or sitting there, maybe I should say, you're sitting there in your unbelief right now and you're in trouble, right? You're in trouble and you know it. You know when Moses and Aaron fell on their faces there that day, I think the people of Israel knew they were in trouble. They knew God had spoken. You better take care of this right now. In the book of Romans, in the 3rd chapter, verse 3, it says, for what if some did not believe? Hey, those people in Israel, I believe there was many of them that never really, truly believed in God. That's why they kept complaining. That's why they kept turning away from God. But listen to what he says here. He said, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Paul said, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but let man be a liar. You see, what Paul was saying to us in this day, it is God that is true. It is God that will save. It was God that delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was God that had promised to them that they would have a place of rest. What the Bible said, a place of milk and honey, a place where everything was provided for them. Now you know the story, how that the children of Israel turned their backs on God at that time. But basically what God did, he said, you'll wander in the wilderness. And he said, all of you that are above a certain age are going to die in the wilderness. Now listen to our reading lesson again. He said, but with whom was greed 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned? What was their sin? What was their sin? What is your sin today? If you go over to John in the, I believe it's the 8th chapter. Yeah, 8th chapter. Verse 24. Jesus told the people in that day, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, go back once again. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They didn't get to go into the promised land because they did not believe in God. Now, verse 1 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into the rest. You have a promise today. Every man, woman, and child in this world today has a promise to from God that if you will believe in His Son, that go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him, His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, not die, is what it's saying. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's rest. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering in into His rest. You've got that promise today. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Remember that 8 inches I talked about? How about one breath? I believe there's many a people today that is suffering in hell today that they thought, I'm going to get saved the next time I go to church. I'll make it right then. I'll make sure that I get saved then. And the next time never came. And they died without the Lord. They missed the rest. Why did He call it a rest? We ceased to labor. All the time that we are in this world, what do? We labor. For men, it was appointed unto us to raise our families, to provide for them, to till the ground, to work, to provide for all things. For us as each individual, what do the women, what was their curse? Their curse was that in childbearing, they would have the pains and agony, the labor of that. That was the curse that was put upon the women as they sinned against God. That labor, all of these labors. I want you to understand, ladies, I'll say to the children, young girls, if you think that labor is the only trouble that you'll have when you grow into this life and you bring children into your heart, into this world, you asked your mother, you asked your grandmother about their labor. They're constantly praying for their children. They're constantly praying for their grandchildren. It's a labor of love. You know when that labor finally ends? When they enter into the spiritual rest of heaven. That's when we as men, we get to rest from our labors also. We rest in the presence of God. But if you want to enter into that rest, what did He say? ye must believe that I am He. Brother Sam, that's going to be our message today. If there's a sinner in our midst today, don't pass it off that you're going, you can wait till revival maybe to get saved. Revival may not come. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you heard about the floods down there in Texas? How many of you heard about the kids that were in the cabins that got swept away by the floods? Do you think they went to bed that night thinking, oh, there's coming a flood, I'm going to heaven tonight? Do you think they thought that? Do you think that there was some in there, oh, I know that I'm fixing to die tonight and I'm going to go to hell tonight and it'll be a big party? No, they didn't think that. There's coming a day. A day of reckoning is what it's called in the Bible. It means it's a day in which God will judge you to see if you're saved or not when you come before Him. And all He has to do is open up that big book of life up there in heaven, and He'll look to see if your name is written there. When does your name get written in there? The very day that you get saved. That's when it's written down in that great big book. I'm going to tell you something. Like that song I've told you about, like Brother Sam sang about here a few months ago, he needs to sing that again. My name is already there. I hadn't been to heaven yet. I haven't been there yet. I haven't received my rest just yet. But my name is already there. Is your name there? That's the question I'm going to ask you. Is your name there? I want you to understand, you need to trust the Lord. You need to believe in Him, that your name might be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I need to quit. Brother Sam, go ahead. Sinners seek the Lord today.
While we stand, sing number 259. While we stand.